From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In an interview on MSNBC, Democratic Party frontrunner Joe Biden claimed that as president, he would veto a bill establishing Medicare for All if it were to pass Congress. Seemingly out of touch with voters who overwhelmingly demand a national health program and cite healthcare as a top election issue, Biden spouted the same objections to expanding Medicare as health insurance industry proponents have. Biden's tone deafness is particularly jarring in the face of the current coronavirus crisis, where the U.S.'s wholly inadequate health system is proving deadly. My guest is Dr. Philip Verhoff. He's a board member of Physicians for a National Health Program and an ICU physician based in Honolulu, Hawaii. Welcome to the program, Dr. Verhoff.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So first, before we get to what it was that Biden specifically said, how popular is this issue of, is the issue of healthcare, and how popular is Medicare for All as a solution to our healthcare problems? There have been many polls done, but for some reason, the corporate media still doesn't seem to clarify this issue. So let's clarify it.
Well, and I think you raise an excellent point, right? The, you know, the polls, poll after poll, whether it's of physicians or of the public, continue to show broad support for Medicare for All as a solution. And, you know, it's easy to spin those polls to say, well, people didn't know what they were responding to, or, you know, only the Democrats seem to support it. But that's just really not true. There is broad support, and particularly notable for me as a physician is the fact that most physicians support this. And so the fact that we continue to hear a narrative that says, this is not a workable solution, this isn't what America wants, well, it's simply a false narrative. And so we work very hard to try and shed real light on this issue.
So let's actually take a listen to what it was that Biden said in an interview with Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC. This was an interview on Monday. And this we'll start with the actual question by the interviewer that he posed to Biden.
Let's assume, and I've asked other candidates this kind of question, veto question. Let's flash forward. Your president, Bernie Sanders, is still active in the Senate. He manages to get Medicare for All through the Senate in some compromised version, the Elizabeth Warren version or other version. Nancy Pelosi gets a version of it through the House of Representatives. It comes to your desk. Do you veto it?
I would veto anything that delays providing the security and the certainty of health care being available now. If they got that through, and by some miracle, and there was an epiphany that occurred, and some miracle occurred that said, okay, it's passed, then you got to look at the cost. I want to know, how did they find the $35 trillion? What is that doing? Is it going to significantly raise taxes on the middle class, which it will? What's going to happen? Look, my opposition isn't to the principle that there should be, you should have Medicare. I mean, everybody, healthcare should be a right in America. My opposition relates to whether or not, A, it's doable, two, what the cost is, and what the consequences for the rest of the budget are. How are you going to find $35 trillion over the next 10 years without having profound impacts on everything from taxes for middle class and working class people, as well as the impact on the rest of the budget?
And that is Joe Biden speaking to MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell on Monday, where he was asked about Medicare for All. Dr. Verhoff, this was such an interesting answer from Biden, because he did feel compelled to say that he wasn't opposed to the principle of expanding Medicare. In fact, healthcare should be a right. But then he repeated this issue of how are you going to find $35 trillion? How is the budget going to manage it? How will it raise taxes on the middle class, et cetera? How do you respond to this?
It's a shame. And I think you're right. He's totally out of touch. But the thing that I think was most striking for me is that he said that he would veto any bill that doesn't assure healthcare for everyone. And quite frankly, his bill any of his healthcare proposals, none of them assure healthcare for everyone. You know, he's running on a public option, on shoring up the ACA. But we have to remember that leaves 30 million people uninsured in this country. And so, okay, maybe we get 10 million more people with insurance. At its best moment, the ACA still literally left tens of millions of people uninsured, which, you know, in effect means that they have no access to health care. So, you know, to me, it's like Biden saying, well, I would veto my own health care bill if it came across my desk. And so, you know, it's the most ridiculous argument. But then you bring up the funding issue. And you know, he says, where are we going to find $35 trillion? Well, look, there have been study after study, the most recent one from Yale about a month ago, that says we'll actually save almost $500 billion a year by moving to Medicare for All. So in fact, the money is there. He also, you know, glosses over the fact that that's $35 trillion over 10 years. We're already spending upwards of $3 trillion a year now. So it's not a question of, you know, where that money is going to come from. That money is already being spent. It's simply a matter of taking it out of the hands of the profiteering private insurance industry and actually using it to cover healthcare for everyone.
What was remarkable was the way in which the interviewer cast the question was still not enough for Biden. The interviewer said, if this bill were to pass the Senate with, you know, a strong proponent like Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, if Pelosi in the House as House Speaker would push it through, meaning if Congress, the entire U.S. Congress, passed this by a majority and it arrived at your desk, meaning the only thing stopping it from coming in, becoming law, would be your signature, would you veto it? And he said he would. Which to me was remarkable. So he is basically running on a platform opposed to Medicare for All.
Yeah, and that's a platform opposed to what the majority of Americans polled want. You know, he talks about wanting to unite, but honestly, this is completely divisive. He's effectively saying healthcare, which for many people who support Bernie Sanders is their most important issue, he's saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and veto any bill that comes across my desk that looks like this.
And in fact, isn't the issue of
dividing the party?
Isn't the issue of healthcare important to a majority of American voters? I've seen polls that show that when asked what their most important issue to them in the election is, healthcare continues to be number one.
Yeah. It's crazy. And honestly, a Medicare for All approach is really the only way to solve the problems that the country currently has with this. And so he's coming out against that. And honestly, that really is, it's striking too, because it's saying he's not willing to work with the Congress. Because honestly, that's the way our government was designed, right? Where you need sort of an executive and a legislative branch to work together. And so he's saying, even if the legislative branch can go through the entire process and bring me a bill that looks good, I'm still going to veto it. That sounds vaguely familiar, right? That sounds like the current president we have, who has also said, he's not basically going to work with or respect the legislative branch of office. And I think that's really concerning.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable, because presumably any bill that was passed by Congress would have in it the plan for how to pay for it. It wouldn't just tell, you know, say that tomorrow we shall expand Medicare for All and the money will magically materialize. Presumably any bill would have all of those details in it, but Biden would still oppose it. This shouldn't surprise us, given that the day after Super Tuesday, health insurance stocks went up quite a bit.
Yeah, frightening, right? I mean, health insurance stocks were at an all-time high after the ACA was passed and the individual mandate became in effect, because it basically said you're going to be required to buy private health insurance. And so, you know, private health insurance companies are looking at this as a windfall, right? It means they no longer have to deal, at least for the time being, of the threat that there's going to be an end to their profiteering madness. But, you know, that's That's to be expected, to be honest with you. And I think it's really concerning.
So Biden's sentiments, essentially, as you suggested earlier, echo those of Mr. Trump, who has said that Medicare for All would, quote, bankrupt the nation. And of course, the Republicans just go one step further in saying that it's socialism destroying American healthcare. Somehow it's not socialism if Medicare is restricted to people over the age of 65. But for the rest of us, when we expand it, then it suddenly becomes socialism.
Right. Well, and of course, we heard 50 years ago when Medicare was enacted, the argument against it made by the American Medical Association was, you know, this will result in our country becoming a socialist country. That obviously hasn't happened. Now, what obviously did happen was that the health of our senior citizens improved dramatically. The costs of their health care were suddenly controlled. And seniors no longer had to worry, at least to the same extent, that as they aged, they would face the danger of medical bankruptcy. But that being said, Medicare itself is not perfect, but it absolutely provides a great degree of protection for our senior citizens. And so, you know, honestly, it's a ridiculous talking point that's meant to stoke fear and isn't really based in any kind of reality. It just doesn't make sense that this is a system that's okay for our seniors and not for anyone else. Oh, and not to mention the fact that it's okay for many other countries around the world who are hardly argued to be socialist, that use a system similar to this with a national health insurance program administered by the government.
Dr. Philip Verhoef, the backers of Biden within the Democratic Party are saying that Biden is best poised to beat Trump, and that, yes, we all want things like Medicare for All, but we'll just have to wait another 4 years. The president of your organization, Physicians for a National Health Program, Dr. Adam Gaffney, recently wrote a piece in healthaffairs.org entitled "Medicare for All, If Not Now, When?" Can you lay out his arguments, given that every day, every week, every year that passes without health insurance, or rather health access, healthcare access for everyone, just basically results in more and more deaths, and that our country cannot take much more? If not now, then when? What does he suggest needs to happen?
I mean, you've nailed it, right? We know that literally thousands of people die per year for lack of health insurance. And to be honest, this is not a new fight. PNHP has been, our organization, Physicians for a National Health Program, has been fighting for this kind of health reform for more than 30 years. And we're excited because this is the closest that we've come. It's actually in the national dialogue now. We're actually being able to talk about moving towards Medicare for All as a viable platform. There are bills that have been signed on to. We've got lots of legislators who support this. And so, you know, the idea that we need to wait 4 more years seems incredibly irresponsible when we know that lack of health insurance leads to deaths, when we know that lack of health insurance contributes to health disparities, when we know that the cost of insuring workers is a burden that companies are starting to move away from. You know, people are starting to shunt their employees onto the healthcare exchanges rather than to offer them health insurance. And honestly, you know, companies didn't go into business to become health insurers, right? And so the idea that we continue to burden the employers of this country with needing to provide health insurance is crazy. And so what we know is we will continue to flush money down the toilet into the hands of the private insurance industry, which doesn't actually provide us anything, right? A health insurer makes money by denying claims, by making it difficult to actually have patients receive the care that their physicians need. And so, you know, by moving these motives out, we begin to save lives. We begin to tackle health disparities in this country. We begin to tackle the drivers of the social determinants of health. We tackle poverty. And nobody's saying that this is going to be the absolute solution, but the idea that we would actually continue to delay means that we will continue to hurt Americans. And that that for me as a physician, for all of us, is really unconscionable. It's just unconscionable that a solution may exist and we're simply unwilling to work for that solution.
And one would think, given the current deadly coronavirus spread throughout the country, that the politicians of our parties would be more considering or would be more likely to consider a system that actually covers most Americans. On Tuesday, President Trump and his Vice President Mike Pence met with health insurance industry executives to demand that they weigh, the way the news is being cast is that the executives have agreed to waive co-pays and extend treatment to make sure people who are infected with coronavirus get adequate care. So the president and vice president of our country have to basically ask health insurance industry executives for some concessions on this one issue. You're out of luck if you have like diabetes or cancer.
Right. And that's what's so crazy. You know, they're calling for this stuff to be covered. You know,
I mean, these are death panels right here, right? This is a death panel.
Right? Yeah. It'd be easy if we simply had a national health insurance system. And honestly, we now have to take health insurance companies, at face value. And there's no reason to trust them, right? It doesn't make sense to me. If you have a private insurance plan with a high deductible, that say you have a $10,000 deductible, you become critically ill, you rack up $100,000 of hospital debt, and the private insurance company is going to pay for all that, you can bet that they are going to find ways not to, right? Because they have a vested interest in not paying for coverage. So, you know, they can come out and say, oh, sure, we'll cover everything. But, you know, why would they do that for this disease and for not anything else? You know, it's the notion that people are responsible for the reasons that they get sick, that they get cancer, that they get coronavirus, and therefore they should have to pay for some of it themselves. This is just a crazy notion, right? We can't control that. And to the extent that people should reduce their contact with others, should wash their hands, should not come to work when they're sick. These are all great messages, but the idea that you'll still get sick and may have to pay for the hospital bills that could rack up thousands of dollars is insane. And let's think about, you know, who are the populations that are most likely to get hurt by coronavirus? Those are the people that don't have access to care, people that are living in poor neighborhoods or are homeless populations. You know, that's a group of people that has really close contact with other people in not necessarily very clean conditions. Those are the people that are going to get sick and going to die from this. And, you know, they certainly don't have insurance. So, you know, it's great that the private insurers are saying, okay, we'll waive the cost. What do we do for the people that don't have insurance? You know, if we had a national health insurance system, we would actually cover all of the costs of that healthcare instead of basically putting a tremendous burden on our system in this time of crisis.
Now, Bernie Sanders, just a few days ago, made an appearance at a Fox News town hall where he raised some of his central policy issues, such as raising the minimum wage, which, by the way, would also be good for public health, and dealing with climate change also would be good for public health. And of course, most importantly, the issue of Medicare for all. He specifically said that I live 50 miles away from the Canadian border. This is not a communist society up there in Montreal. They guarantee healthcare to all. They spend 50% of what we spend. Is passing Medicare for all, single-payer system, a radical idea? He was met with huge applause from a Fox News town hall audience, which really suggests that neither Biden nor Trump are in touch with either of their constituencies, right?
Totally. I mean, the people understand, right? You know,
no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, it seems, because you still have to deal with health insurance companies, or if you're lucky, that is, and not have anything if you're unlucky.
Yeah, no, and so often that's the point where people's perspective on this really changes. They say, oh gosh, I want to keep my health insurance. But, you know, what happens when you need it and you realize all the holes that are in your health insurance? Or what happens when your employer decides not to offer that insurance anymore? Or what do you do about staying in a job that you hate or a job that isn't good for you or for your family because of the health insurance? You know, all of these things are components of our current system, and the public recognizes that. People see that this system is absolutely crazy. You know, so many people tell us, gosh, I was so glad when I got Medicare because then I had a stable insurance system. So many doctors say, gosh, I'd much rather deal with Medicare than private insurance because I actually know what they cover and what they don't. And they're not trying to bait and switch. They're not trying to say they'll cover something and then they don't cover it. They're not changing the rules constantly. You know, it's remarkable to me how effective the private health insurance industry has been at propping up its own existence with, of course, they have all of the revenue that they get from our premiums, which is, of course, effectively a tax on all Americans. And so, you know, that money basically buys congressional blindness to what their constituents actually want.
If Biden ends up the nominee and if he wins the presidency in the fall, do you hope that the movement that has grown up around, that has coalesced, I should say, around the Sanders campaign pushes a Biden presidency in such a way that he has his hand forced? We certainly, even though on the issue of Medicare for All, Trump and Biden are closer to one another, there is a much bigger opening for change under any kind of a Democratic president, at least past few presidents have shown us, than under Republican presidents. And I suppose the hope is that this movement pushes really hard for whoever occupies the White House to make Medicare for All a reality.
Oh, absolutely. We will. We've already doubled down our efforts. And let me give you an example of that. Right now, the second largest physicians organization in the country, the American College of Physicians, which has 120,000 members, has come out in favor of Medicare for All, single payer, as a viable solution. This is momentous. And what this means is suddenly one of the absolute largest physician groups is going to work to fight for Medicare for All. And that's because of the work that we've been doing for the last 30 years to help educate physicians, to help educate the public that this is a good idea. And, you know, the fact is our current system is self-destructing. And so, you know, it's to be expected that one of the big physician groups would finally get on board, but it really is exciting. We now have so many more allies in this fight, including dozens and dozens of grassroots organizations. We have physicians organizations. We have National Nurses United. We have a broad coalition of support for this. And so we are absolutely going to keep fighting. I've been to Capitol Hill to lobby with the American College of Physicians, and now I get to lobby with them and talk about single-payer healthcare as the solution. I couldn't be more pleased. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, Biden wins, we're going to keep this effort up. And honestly, we'll keep it up if Biden is defeated or Sanders is defeated and Trump remains president. We will continue to fight for this because it's really the only solution for our country.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Philip Verhoef.
It's been my pleasure, and call me anytime.
My guest, Dr. Verhoef, is a board member of Physicians for National Health Program, also an ICU physician based in Honolulu, Hawaii. We've been discussing Joe Biden, Medicare for All, and more. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.